Shavua Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is daf Samach Tet. And we're holding at Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we were in the middle of the sugya of what type of Malika is actually going to be Metayer Midei, the din of Nivlas Oif Tohor, which would mean that it would be Metame Bebet HaBliya. And once we already raised that issue, there's another related issue that Rabbi Yitzchak brings up over here, which is Nogea also Malika. This was the Din of Malika Zar, which we learned yesterday. We discussed the machlokas about Malika Zar. So Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, I heard two different dinim, and I'm getting confused about which one. I heard something about a kmitza of a zar, of a mincha, and I heard about a Malika of a Zar, and I was taught that one of them, if it's put on the Mizbeach, is Teret. And one of them is not Teret, and I forgot which one it was, and I don't know, actually, which was which. Lo Yadana. Omar Chizki, I could tell you that it's much more reasonable to say that what you heard was that a Zar that does Kmitza, and it was put on the Mizbeach, that should be taken down off of the Mizbeach, the Kmitza of a Mincha. But Malika of a bird should not be taken down. Why? I understand. What's the difference? I mean, basically, what we said yesterday was that the Machlokas about whether Malika of a Zar needs to be taken off of the Mizbeach, that was a function of whether we're able to learn out from the Boma. So if you hold that it's possible to learn out a din from a boma, because remember, what we're looking for is how to explain the Torah's separation of those things which are zot, Torah, ta'olah, doesn't matter, what's wrong, leave it up there. And then the special cases or the general ruling, that was about Chlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about hi ha'olah and ha'olah, so the shalosh, we had miyutim. So the machlokas was, can we also establish that there's some place where Malika of a Zar is kosher? So we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Malika of a Zar is kosher because on a boma, there's no din of kuhuna. And therefore, if we bring a carbon oaf on a boma, a Zar is going to be doing the Malika. So then that fits the general rule that anything that we find is in some place is considered to be kosher. That's included in the pasuk that says Zot Torah Ta'olah. So why in the world would you say that a Malika is different than a Kmitza? I mean, both of them are kosher by a non-kohen, are kosher on a boma, because there's no din of kahuna on a boma at all. So what's an afkamina if we're talking about a mincha? We're talking about a malikas oaf. So maishna malika de yashna bevama, kmitza nami yashna bevama. So if you're going to tell me that imala lo tered with one, it has to be the same thing on the other. Now, no one's going to try to tell me. You're going to say that maybe Chizki is going, according to the Mandi Omar, there is a shita like this, which is, we're going to see later on, that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And basically, he says that there's no such thing as a mincha on a boma, and that a boma was never meant for menachas. So you'll say, okay, so then we don't have a raya from the boma to the kmitza of a zar, because there is an Obama with a mincha. But then the problem is that then he would also have to hold that there's no malika, because in ofot nami bibama, because that's what Rav Shesh has pointed out. L'divrei ha'omer yesh mincha bivama, yesh ofot bivama. The two things are intimately connected. If you hold, like the Tanakama, who says that there's such a thing as a mincha on a boma, then there's also such a thing as an of on a boma. L'divrei ha'omer ein mincha, then ein ofot. Why is that? It's very simple, because the mocker was from the pasuk of Yizbechu Zvachim. The truth is there's a bit of a question of whether that's the pasuk that is Bechuz Vachim on Har Sinai, where it says Vachim, or whether, like we see later on, that the Rashi brings the pasuk later, Zivchehem Asherhem Zofchim. But okay, but the portion of the meaning of the word Zvachim V'lofot is being learned from Har Sinai. So anyway, if you learn Zvachim means Lo Menachot, so then Zvachim also means Lo Ofot, because there's no Shchita for Ofot. So you can't tell me that the difference is whether it's on a boma or not. I mean, obviously, if he holds we're learning Malika from a Malika of a Zar on a boma, and therefore imala lo tered. So then the same thing should be true about kmitza. Ah, says the Gemara, but there's a big difference. There is no kli shores by boma. So if there's no kli shores, and then that means you don't have kiddush bekli, which is one of the fundamental dinim of the mincha. So therefore, the point of Chizkiyah is not that there's no mincha, but there's no mincha that is similar to the mincha that we would want to say im alta lo tere. Because the mincha that's there on a bama is not our mincha. Our mincha requires kiddush bikli shores. Because of that, we don't have really a mokar where a zar can do the kmitza on a mincha, which was kiddush bikli. So that stands. So therefore, if Lomaisa, you heard that there's a difference and you don't know which one it is, well, the difference would only be able to show up in terms of the mincha because of the difference in kiddush kli. And therefore, we don't have a marker for kmitza being im alta lo tered. Okay, the next piece in the Mishnah said, Molak b'smol o b'layla, so the din is that it's not mitame. And remember, not mitame is not mitame bebeis habliya, because that's the only tumah that we have on a nivlas of tahor. So if you did a malika wrongly, you used your left hand, or you did malika balayla, it still is not going to be mitame because im ola lo tere. Tanarabona. Yochote malika shehi lifnim mitam abegadim bevet abliya. So you might think that if you have a either chatas or an oilas ha'oif, where there is a problem in the malika, and it was done inside of the Beis HaMikdash, but you did something wrong, like molak b'smol or b'layla. So you might think that such a malika doesn't do anything, and therefore it's not metame, and therefore it's not metayer from the tuma, the Beis HaBliyan. You might think that's the case, and that's not true. Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah says, Nivela. Now listen, guys, we are about to do a complex analysis of all of the places where the Torah discusses the inyanim of Nivela and its relationship to Trefa, Binogea, the birds, and Binogea, the behemoth. So therefore, I must ask you, if you want to do yourselves a favor and not get hopelessly confused, simply take out a Chumash for a moment. You only need your Chumash Vayikra. Take out your Chumash Vayikra. Let's go through the various psukim that the Gemara is going to be dealing with over the next 2 days, tonight's daf and tomorrow's daf. And let's look at these psukim from the beginning so that we can actually know what is it we're talking about over here. So we start off from the pasuk. The earliest pasuk that we're going to be derish is the pasuk in Tzav. And that's in, again, I hate using the Goyish Prakim, but that's in Perek Zayin, pasuk Chof Dalet. So this is the famous parasha, Daber al b'nei Yisrael lemar, kochelav shor, v'chesev v'ez lo tochelu. So this is about Chelev, but the thing is that then the Torah says something that puts together a special din about Chelev. The Chelev nivela, the Chelev trefa, yeyase lecho melacha. Now what does that mean? That if it is nivela v'trefa, then it can be used lecho melacha, meaning that it's not mitame anything, and you don't have to worry about it because there's no tumas nevela on chelev. And then it unexplainably throws in the achol lo tochlu, which, I mean, that's how we started. Kol chelev shavachesva es lo tochelu. So we've got a weird pasuk over here. First of all, a weird din that chelev nevela and treif is not mitame, even though a nevela is metame, all of its basar is metame, and the repetition of achol lo tochlu. So let's keep that in mind as we proceed hala. So that was the pasuk that we had in Parshas Tzav. Now let's move over to the next pasuk on this issue, and that is the pasuk in Shmini. So what we have over there is the din of Tumas Neveles, and it says over there in Pesuk Lametet, "V'chi yamut min ha-behima asher yilachem la'ochla hanogea benivlata yitma ad ha'orev." So that is the standard din of a nevela. Then the pasuk says that the din of, later on it talks about all of the various types of things that are become tame, and it says kol alecha gochon al teshapesu esnafshur shechem lo tamenitma b'hem, and it says at the end lo tetamu esnafshur shechem b'chol hasher tzara beisal ha'aretz. We're going to be looking at this pasuk as well. Now let's take a look at the next pasuk in order of occurrence, and we move on to Achrei Mos. In Achrei Mos, we have also a strange pasuk. It doesn't seem to really belong here at all. It's talking about Dam, but then all of a sudden, at the end of the parasha of Dam, it throws in pasuk Tetvav. This is Yud Zayin Tetvav. V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevelav utreifa bezrach uvager v'chibes begadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tomei ad ha'orev v'taher. Now, what in the world is this pasuk talking about? Eating? Chol nefesh asher tochal nevelav utreifa? It's got to be referring to a nivlas of tahar, because all of the other cases that we had before, it spoke about its being metame without needing to eat it. It was metame when you touch it. And here it says, don't make yourself tame by eating it. So then that means that there's an iser here. There's a dinner of tuma that has to do with achila of a nevela. And for some reason, it also throws in trefa. So we've got to understand what the meaning is of adding trefa to this parsha of nevela. That's the next pasuk we got to worry about. Now let's take a look at the pasuk later on in Emor. And in Emor, we also have a pasuk that has to do with the same idea. And there it says, in pasuk chet, in chof beit chet, nevela utrefa, so again it puts together nevela and trefa, lo yochal letam aba ani adonai. So this is part of Emor, and it's being said to the Kohanim. And it's telling the Kohanim that they also can't eat nevela v'trefa, and therefore it's also referring, since it's talking about an achila letam aba, and therefore it's saying that if you did eat a nivlas of tahar, where there is no other tuma, there's no maga, there's no masa, there's only tumas beis ablia, that such a kohen is usher, like as if he was tame by other things. But again, why in the world it throws in trefa is very unclear. So we've got these four different circuit that we're going to be looking at and seeing what we learn out from the additional mention of trefa benogea nivlas oiftar and how it relates to the general din of nevela that we also said. So let's start with the din of the Tana Rabbana. Yocho tehimalika shehi lifnim mitam'a begadim beveit ablia. So you might have thought that if you did something that was wrong with the malika, and it took place inside, so in other words, let's say, like we were talking about, you did it belayla, you did it besmol, so you might think that it would be mitam'a begadim because the malika is no good. Talmud lomar, that's why the Torah says the word nevela. So what's the nevela? That's the pasuk that we had, v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa, bezrach uveger v'chibes begadav, which we said, what do you mean eat? Why does that be eat? So it's got to be talking about a oaf that died, and it only has tuma in terms of achila. And that's what we call the tumas beis hablia. So now you would have thought that this is true if the malika wasn't a proper malika. Talmud Lomar, therefore it says, Bedavka Asher Tochal Nevela V'Treifa. What? It is a nevela. I don't know. What are you talking about? We killed a bird. We used a malika that was no good. Now you're telling me that since I killed the bird, therefore it's not a nevela. I understand. That's what a nevela is, killing a bird. So how are you learning out from nevela? Ah, you're right, you're right. What I should have said was, Talmud Lomar Treifa. That's the point. Why does it put together nevela v'treifa over here? The word treifa doesn't make any sense. So it's got to be coming to tell me something. Ah, so that would be the pshat. And what it's coming to tell me is that if it's not shayach to being a treifa, we'll see, we'll get to it in the end, that would apparently mean that it's not included in the din of nevela. We're going to explain how we learn it out. So what's the relationship to treifa? It must be to come to tell me that just like the treifa, she'ein materet et ha'isur, the halacha is that in order for something to be metame, it has to be the same as treifa. What does that mean? Treifa, by definition, something that becomes, that was kosher, now it becomes a treifa. Is there any tzad that is mutter because of the fact that it became treifa? Obviously not. Becoming a treifa doesn't add heter. So, too, is kol she'ein materet et ha'isur, anything that makes a nevela, that doesn't, it's just like treifa. It doesn't bring anything that's mutter. It only creates iser. That's what is meant by a nevela. The thing is that malika, which is done inside of the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot say that it's matir, it's not matir anything. It is matir something, because as we learned before, it's matir that im ola ala mizbeach lo yeret. And therefore, it's not the same as the case of the treifa, which is not matter anything. And therefore, it's eno mitame begodim bebet ablia. It's not like treifa, and therefore, it's not going to be mitame. So as long as it has any element of heter to it, it's also going to be mitaher, that bird from Tumas Nevelas. Okay, this is now a new thing that we've learned out, which would include also Hevi hamolek kachim bachutz. So if you go ahead and you did malika to kachim that was outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it would also include molek chulin, somebody who does anything to a chulin bird, bein bilifnim, bein mibachutz, what does it come to tell us about those cases? Ah, well, in those cases, it doesn't do a darn thing for you, does it? In those cases, it's not matir anything at all. So since it's not matir anything at all, so then it's metame begadim abes ablia, because we said only if it was psula bekadesh, and these things are not psula bekadesh. Therefore, im ola yered, and if im ola yered, tell me what good the malika did. Go ahead. Didn't do any good. And the only mocker for malika being metahir is where it does something that's good. So over here we have a relationship to the sugya that we were talking about until now, which was the question of im ola tered and its dinim legabe kachim. This is also now nogea its dinim legabe the tahira of tuma bebet ablia. So this is one approach. Now there's another brisa, tanya idach, that yochol teishchitas chulin bifnim. Or kachim bein mi bifnim bein mi bachutz. Let's talk about shchita now. And you would have thought that if you shecht a chulin, meaning a chulin oaf, so you shecht a chulin bird inside of the Beis HaMikdash, or you shechted even kachim birds, and this could be whether you shecht in the Beis HaMikdash or out of the Beis HaMikdash, you might think that these things would actually be metame bebeit ablia. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, nevela. And therefore, here, it's not a nevela. I don't understand. It is a nevela. That's what we're asking you. This is the same approach that we had in the previous brisa. Since all of those three cases we just had, there's no din of shechita. There's not an of shechita of a din inside of the Beis HaMikdash for chulin, and there's no din of shechita for oifes of kachim, whether you're inside or you're outside. So we've got three cases, which, if there's no din, then why isn't it just the same as shooting the bird through the head? Why is it not an avela? It is an avela. Sorry, I mean, that's why it says trefa. And trefa didn't make any sense. So you must be coming to tell me like this. Ma trefa shovem bifnim kibachutz. In order for something to be able to be metame, then it has to be just like trefa. And trefa makes absolutely no difference if a bird is trefa. It's always going to be usher, whether it's inside or whether it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Trefa is usher. So af kol shavot bifnim kebachutz, that would mean that anything that creates when I say anything, I mean any act in which you're using a type of slaughter, which sometimes is the Malika and sometimes is the Shechita. But whatever that methodology was, if it's Shavais Bifnim Kibachutz, so if it's like Trefa and it has the same impact, whether it's inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside, then it has the din like Trefa, which is Shava Bifnim Kibachutz, and that's when the Tumas Nevelas apply. However, in a case where you did Shechita of Chulin inside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is not the part that the Torah was Matir for Shechita, the Torah says it has to be Ki Yirchak Mimcha HaMakom. That's where you're supposed to be Zaveach. So Kachim, because of that, if you Shecht Chulin Bifnim, or, we're talking about birds now, or if you shecht kachim, whether you shecht kachim birds inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside, there was never a time that you could do shechita that the Torah said shecht a bird of kachim. Nowhere. So since lo shavu bifnim mibachutz, they are certainly very different, as we're going to explain why are they very different if you're inside or you're outside. What do you mean? I understand the chulin. Yeah, the chulin is not the same. The chulin, you said, would only be kosher outside and not inside. That made sense. And okay, but how could you say kachim? Kachim isn't different outside or inside. The kachim birds are puzzle if you shech them, no matter where you shech them. So how does this make sense? Amar Rava, I'll tell you, it's not really possible. Because, im ho ilo lo shchitas chutz l'chai v'kores, let me ask you something. If you bring a ov kodesh and you shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the din over there is it's dafka shchita, because outside of chutz, there's no din of malika. So the only time that you would be chayiv for bringing something outside of the Beis HaMikdash, if it's a bird, b'chutz, would only be if you shecht it, b'chutz. So if shechting it, b'chutz, is considered to be an act of akrava, b'chutz, that's shechitas chutz, so then it's good enough to be mechayev im kares for shechitas chutz, so why would it not be enough? Lo te'ilo l'tahara midei nevela? So you can't say that it doesn't do anything. The point over here is that it does nothing, but over here it certainly does do something. And if it's good enough to be mechayev you because of shrut echutz, I mean, obviously if you shot the bird, you wouldn't be chayev for shrut echutz. But if you did a shechita of it, even though it's hegdish, you would be chayev for shrut echutz. So then that means that, of course, it would actually be metayer midei tumas beis habliya, because this is a kosher shechita. Binogea, that one din. It's a kosher shechita, binogea being mechayev you kores. Mashenkin, if you did the malika outside, the malika is not considered to be hakrovas chutz. because there's no din of Malika Bachutz, and therefore you would not be Chayev Kares. So then that means that Malika in Achinami is completely useless, like we said before, if it's done mi Bachutz, but Shechita is not completely useless. Okay, so now we see, as Rava explained, why it is that Ofot, that are Hegdesh, that you actually shechted, why they're not metame bebeit habliya. But I still don't know that that's true legabe kodesh birds that you were shechet bifnim. I only saw chutz. Oh well, the lo shavu bifnim kibachutz. Remember how this whole thing started. It all started that it has to be something that is going to be the same bifnim and bachutz. But now, since by definition it's not shavu bifnim kibachutz, so that we know from what it was that Rava said. Because once Rava said, well, you see, the shechita of bachutz is metairet from metame b'nevela, with beis habliya. So then it would have to be the same in the shechita bifnim. Because we said before that tuma of the beis habliya is only where it's exactly the same, bifnim b'chutz, and therefore, by definition, this would have to be that it's mater bifnim, like b'chutz. Otherwise, it would be a contradiction in Eyube. So, I don't understand. If this is true, you're telling me the only time that something is not going to be metame is if the impact is bifnim and b'chutz. But then if that's the case, let's say a kohen does malika to kutch him b'chutz, so then it should not be bifnim, not be metame, because malika is not the same inside and outside. So if you're telling me that the klal is that tumas beis habliya is on not chal in a case unless the way that you went about slaughtering it was the same inside and outside. So then if that's the case, malika, that you do the kodesh birds outside, should be metayer from tuma, because if you did that malika inside, it would be a kosher carbon. And therefore, it's very different inside and outside. But we just learned in our Mishnah that that's not true. We learned that if you went ahead and took an oaf that was kodesh, and you were meleket bachutz, we just said that it is metame. And it's only if you're shechetet bachutz that it's not metame. So I don't understand the self-consistency over here. Omer Reb Shimi Barashi, that's not a taina. Danim davar shelo be'ekshero, midavar shelo be'ekshero. What we're talking about over here is learning things that are not being done correctly from things that are not being done correctly. You're not going to learn out something, davar shelo be'ekshero, from something that is be'ekshero. When we said in the Braita that if this way of slaughtering is not going to be matir the oaf in either place. So that's very true. And nonetheless, we find it that it is matir, but that's because that's the way that you're supposed to do it. We weren't talking about the way you're supposed to do it. We're talking about where you were not matir the bird here for a korban. So it's not done properly. And there we're talking about that it's if you could tell me that nonetheless, there it works because imola lo teret, and there it doesn't do anything. Yes, that makes sense. Don't bring me a case where it's mamish kosher. That's not the point. Of course it's kosher. Excuse me? Well, how about what we had before? We said, minayin li yotze, she imola lo yeren. We said, yotze is kosher on a bama. Well, yotze is kosher on a bama because it isn't yotze, for heaven's sakes. It's completely kosher on a bama. So how are we learning out that yotze, you said we can't learn out something that is kosher from something that is wrong. But over here, yotze on a bama is kosher. So how are we going to learn out that imola lo tered from where it's not yotze? The meaning of a bama is that there's no yotze. There's no place for it. Says the Gemara, you're true, you're right, but we explained this idea before. In reality, we're not actually learning it out from a bama. Like we said before, of course you can't learn it out from a bama because there's no concept of yotzei. But we're only looking for how to apply the pasuk of zoz torah to olah, which is marbe im olah lo tered. That's the point. So I'm bringing the fact that it's kosher in a bama as sort of agav. But the idea over here is that we're never going to be able to learn something which is really pasuk from something which is totally kosher in the beginning. It's only a giloy as to where to apply a special pasuk that was marbe that you could put things on the mizbeach, but it's not a direct limud. So we're relying on zot torah tolah, as we've said before, and it's only like a giloy milsa. So this tells us the cases where malika will and will not be metame. But how about the relationship of malika to the act of shechita when it comes to treifa? So now the din is that if you actually were shochet, remember that shechita is metayer midei nevela. How about if you did malika, and the malika turned out to have been done on an oaf that was treifa? Is that the same as it would be if you did shechita on an animal that was found to be treifa? So
let's hear what Richie has to say about it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Richie has not had anything to say about it. How could we even start a Mishnah without Sir Richard? Come join us, Sir Richard, and lead us forward. I think we got a sleeping Richie on our hands. Okay. So Rabbi Meir Aymer, Eino Metame Bebeit HaBliya. Rabbi Meir says Malika on a bird that turns out to be a treifa is actually Metaheret. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. In fact, Malika cannot be Metaher a treifa. And the truth is that Malika, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Shechita doesn't Metaher a treifa if it's an oaf. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita that we had before in Maseches Tiras. So there's actually, it's not really only a machlokas about Malika. It's a machlokas about whether we can take off Tumas Nevelas from an oaf through any kind of heter. So Rabbi Meir says, well, it's a kal v'chomer. If a Nivlas Behema Tamiya, and that's very tummy. An animal, if it dies, is going to be metame, bemaga, and bemasa. You don't have to eat it in order to become tummy. And nonetheless, if you shecht an animal, it's metayer the treifa from tuma. So a nivlas ha'ov ha'tohor, which is not metame at all, bemaga u'bemasa. It's only going to be metame with the beit ha'bliya. So then it's easier to take off a lower level of tuma like that, isn't it? So it should be a kal v'chomer. I'm talking only about shechita now, says Rabbi Meir. Let's start with shechita. So I hold that for sure the shechita would be metayer, a treifa bird from tuma. Okay. Now, once I've established this to you with the kal v'chomer, so then let's make a mamatzinu. Mamatzinu b'shechita to. So we find that the modality of slaughtering it, if we slaughter the shechita, something that is makshar for achila, is metayer the treifa from tuma. So if you're talking about shechita of an oif chulin, so that would be makshar it, because that's the way to make it roy to eat. And at the same time that it makes it roy to eat, it clearly is not going to be metame as a nevela, and it's even metayer it if it's a treif and you can't eat it. Let's make the one additional step that malika, when we're talking about malika of kachim, should be the same thing. Malika is the equivalent in kachim for what shechita is for chulin. So malika, which is the modality of making it roy for achila, if that malika is done in the Beis HaMikdash, then the kayanim are able to eat the korban chatas. Such makshir is ba'achila. So therefore, it's basically the same idea. And it should be metayer, the treifa, midei tumata. So it makes sense to me. Rabbi Yossi says, look, I agree with the first part of your statement, and I disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. You're absolutely right. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even shechita is not metayer a treifa of a bird, he's wrong, because you made a beautiful kavachomer that shows that it is. But the second piece, I disagree with you. You can't go from that kavachomer to prove that Malika will do the same thing as Shrita because of that little problem called Dayola Vominadin Liot Kinidon. You can't derive more information out than the information that's available to you in. You can't introduce a new factor and say, and therefore, now that we have this Kal Vachomer, it would apply also to Malika. The most you can say is Dayo. And what would be Dayo? Dayo is that an Ov should be like a Behemoth. Shechita is Metaheret. But you can't make this additional step and say, even Malika is Metaher. You didn't see that by a Behemoth, did you? So you're stuck with the information that was given, and that is that Shechita is Metayer, but not Malika. So we have three Shitot over here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is nothing that is Metayer, a bird, from the Tuma of Nivlas of Tar, that is Metame Bebet HaBliyah. Doesn't matter if you Shechted it and it's Chulin. Doesn't matter if you're Meilek it and it's Kachim. It is still going to be Metame Bebet HaBliyah if it wasn't actually Makshir Bachila. So if it's Trefa, it wasn't Makshir Bachila, it's always going to be Tameh. According to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't matter whether you did it Shechita or you did Malika, Shechita Techulin, Malika Techachim, it's always Metayer Trefa. And according to Rabbi Yossi, if you did Shechita Techachim on an Ov, that was Trefa, so then the Ov is not Metame. But if you did Malika to an Ov Kachim, that was Trefa, it is Metame. So those are the three Shitot. Now, how in the world did Rabbi Meir actually ignore Dayo? I mean, Dayo is a principle that nobody argues on. It's actually a D'oraisa principle. And how could Rabbi Meir just ignore Dayo? Rabbi Meir, lo dorish dayo, v'hadayo d'oraisa. Dayo comes straight out of the pasuk. This was the famous braita, the Tanya. This is the braita, which is one of the famous introductions of the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem, and the Shlosh Esrei Midos to talk about Kal Vachomer, bring there, mamish, in the beginning of the Sifri, it brings the beginning, it brings all of the Yud Gimel Midos, and it brings this in the braita right there. Midin Kal Vachomer, Keitzan. It says in the Torah, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, in the case where Miriam had been given a bizoyan by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave her tzaras because of what she said about Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's, Moshe was mispalal that, you know, let's just forget about it. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, if Avia Yarak Bifaneha, if her father would have spit at her, Haloti Chalem Shivat Yamim, shouldn't she be embarrassed for 7 days? So let her wait now, but to must of the tzaras for 7 days, and then we can move on. Now, does that make sense? I mean, shouldn't it say, V'avia yarok b'fanaha, and she's tamei, then she would have been embarrassed, haloti kalim shivas yamim, so it should say, tisager larbasar yom. I mean, if a father is enough to lock her up for 7 days out of humiliation, so then the Shechina should be double that. So it should be 14 days. But nonetheless, what does it say? It says, Tisager Shivas Yamim. So you see from there both deals, that there's a Kal Vachomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a Kal Vachomer, Halo Tikalein, and you see Dayo. Ela Dayo Lavo Min Adin Liyot Kinidon. So how can Rabbi Meir ignore the Dayo here? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Meir wasn't telling you his real limud. He was just, as we often find, that we take an obvious, a more obvious limud for dummies, and we present it as if it stands. In the end, it doesn't stand, and there's a real limud behind it. But it's an easy way to remember the Limud. Remember that the Rambam does this very often, using a pasuk, which the Gemara in the end was Deicha. But this is the easiest way to see it. So that was not really Rebbe Meir's logic. The truth is that Rebbe Meir looked at one of the psukim that we've been talking about, and he said, look, when we introduce Bichlal, the dinim of Achila in the Torah, so what does it say? It starts the parsha off with Zeus, Teiraz, Habehema, Ve'ov. So it lists all of the different kosher animals and non-kosher animals, and it's as if they're all the same. The Behema and the Ofa is V'chol Nefesh Achaya, Harimeses, Bamayim, L'chol Nefesh Asheretes Al-Aretz. And this would all be fine, except that parsha continues on not only telling us the dinim of what's kosher and non-kosher, but as we looked into that parsha before, it also tells us what things are metame. And that means that it's saying that there's something similar in the Torah of a behema and an oaf, binogea, the nevelas, that it's going to be talking about at the end. Well, there isn't anything that's similar, says Rebbe Meir. In what sense can we say zot Torah? V'chi be'ezu Torah, shavta be'ema la'ov, va'ov la'be'ema. Tell me. You're telling me there's a big klal of a single Torah. Well, what's that single Torah about? I don't see anything in common at all between the two. A behema that becomes a nevela. It's metame b'maga u'b'masa. An oaf that becomes a nevela is not metame b'maga u'b'masa. On the other hand, an oaf is metame b'gadim abet ablia. A behema, if you ask somebody, stick this nevela down my throat so you don't actually come into contact with that nevela, are you going to be tame? Absolutely not. And therefore, since there's no maga bebeta storm is not maga, there's no masa once it was shut down your throat, and it's not mitame at all ba'achila, so then the behem is not mitame. So therefore, why is the Torah putting together the behema and the oaf, even in inyanim of nevela? I don't understand. Must be that the Torah is telling me like this. Lomar lecha, just like a behema, davar shemakshira la'achila mitaher shrefata, whatever it is that makes that animal kosher to eat it, that is the shvita, of course, and it makes it at the same time tohar, which it obviously is metayer it from the vela by shechting it because you can eat it. It's also metayer, even if it's a trefa from its tuma, which we learn elsewhere. So too, the same thing is apparently true by an oaf. Whatever is makshirat be'achila, what's makshirat be'achila? The malika. So whatever is makshirat be'achila would be metayer trefasa from tuma, and that includes even Malika, because I certainly don't need the pasuk to tell me Shvita. I know Shvita from the Kal V'chomer. That even Rabbi Yossi was made on. There was no problem of Dayo for the Shvita. There's only a problem of Dayo for the Malika. So the additional point that the Torah is making over here by comparing the Behema and the Oaf must be that even Malika is Metayer Trefa. And therefore, that's my real reasoning. I made the Kal V'chomer that was nogeya, the din of Shechita, and that I stand by that, and Rabbi Yossi agrees with me. As far as the extension into the world of Malika, you're right. I can't really go directly with the Mamatzinu because it would involve Dayo, but I do have the Pasuk. Ah, that's a pretty good Pasuk. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? And he says, there's no Tyra of an oaf from Trefus. Well, he also found a pasuk, you know, and that pasuk we can learn in a braita, which is nevela and trefa. So now we're back to that pasuk v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa bezrach uvager v'chibes migadav v'rochatz b'mayim v'tomei ad ha'orev. So what in the world is that nevela and trefa together meant to teach us? So I say, Omer of Yehuda, what is the point of mentioning trefa. Trefa lama ne'emar. If we're talking about a trefa bird without any kind of shechita, so then it's a nevela if it just died. So that can't be what it's talking about. I mean, there's no point in mentioning it. It must be that the trefa adds something. So if you hold that a trefa is able to live and it has a din of a living animal, so fine. Remember that there's a machlokas in Kulin whether trefa is chaya or not chaya. And Rashi is very confusing here. I just want to stress to you, this is not the real Rashi. This chelek of Zvachim, if you see underneath that there's Rashi Miksavyan, that's the real Rashi. This piece is actually a Talmud of Rashi. And just the printing got mixed up in what they consider to be the actual Rashi. But so anyway, so the Rashi here is a bit confusing. I think that this is the way to learn it, is basically the way Tosfos learns it, and it's clear from Rashi later on that that's what Rashi really means. The machlokas about whether trefa chaya certainly does not mean, which is the simple way that people read the Rashi, it can't possibly mean that if you hold trefa en achaya, that a trefa is considered already to be a nevela. As Tosus points out, that's insane. There are so many Gemaras. We've been talking about actually the din of doing Malika if you cut through. That's why it's so important when you do Malika, do not cut Rov Basar. Because since in order to get to the simanim, you're going to break through the neck bone, you're going to break the vertebrae, and you're going to also cut through the spinal cord. If you also cut the Rov Basar, you've made it into a nevela, and what's the point of doing anything to it? It's just dead meat. So that is the only case where we say something is a nevela and it's metame, even though it's alive. That would be, Dr. Gemara Chulin says, if you cut all of those three things, then that would make it into a nevela michayim, it's called. That's a concept, Gavi, of nevela michayim. It's good to keep that, the words, that concept clear. So that's a nevela michayim. A trefa is not at all a nevela michayim. And the pashtus of the machlokas of the Gemara and Chulin is only nogea whether something that lived 12 months is that ipso facto, does that show that it's not a trefa? There's nothing to do with this idea. But as Rashi applies it over here, it certainly does not mean that when we say trefa ena chaya, that it has a din of being dead. But let's say you would cut off a piece of meat from that bird as a trefa without doing anything to the bird as a whole. So then if you hold a trefa ena chaya, so Rashi is saying that that would mean that that piece of bird would be metame even though the bird hasn't died. Normally, the only time that something is metame, if it's taken from a living animal, is if it's an aver that has bosar gidim v'atzamot. Only an aver is metame as a nevela. But if you take a piece of meat, it's not metame as a nevela. But if you hold trefa ena chaya, then that trefa would be metame. That's what Rashi is trying to say. And there's a pirush of Rav Chaim Cohen in the Tosfos that relates to that approach that Rashi would be saying too. Except he says it's not nogea, the other din of trefa chaya. Fine, but the point is clear. So why mention trefa? Look, if a trefa is completely alive, so then when it dies, it's a nevela, and otherwise it's irrelevant. Why mention trefa? If a trefa has a din of a nevela, if I cut off a piece of it, so then it's a nevela. But there's no point in mentioning a trefa that is not going to essentially be a nevela. Either it's a nevela because I cut off a piece, or it's a nevela because it died, right? So, memanavshach, im trefa chaya, so then when it dies, it's a nevela. And it says nevela. And if trefa ain't a chaya, then it's included in nevela. Because you're saying it's the same thing. Cutting out a piece of meat is the same as a nevela. So what's the point of mentioning it all? The point is to explain that a trefa, even if you shechted it, it is still going to be metame betumas besablia. That's why it talks about the similarity. It can't be talking about what we're saying over here. It can't be talking about a trefa that wasn't shechted, because we just explained the trefa that wasn't shechted is an avela. So what's the point of adding the trefa? To tell me that it was shechted. And even so, it's still exactly the same. It's going to be metame. That's why it puts it together with an avela. You see, I'm right. Trefa on a bird does not get to remove its tumah. I don't care what you did to it. And it's telling us that even if you shechted it, and certainly if you remelek it, it's going to be metame tumas beis hablia. That's the whole idea of mentioning trefa. What other point is it? Omar le Rav Shizbi, says Rav Shizbi to Rav Yehuda. Actually, he couldn't have said anything to Rav Yehuda, but he could have said it to, there's another girsa that has that this entire thing was actually quoted by Rava. So that's probably the correct girsa. So Rabba was the one who said, Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda, fine, but whatever. So Rav Shizbi taines against this svara. According to you, Rav Yehuda, if it also has in the other pasuk that we spoke about, that was all the way back in Tzav, the first pasuk we looked at, v'chelev nivela, v'chelev trefa, ye'aseh l'chol melacha, v'yachol lo tochlu. Why the heck does it mention trefa according to you? You say that trefa doesn't add anything. I could say the same argument over there. Why mention chelev nivela and chelev trefa? Okay, so let's say exactly the same thing. I mean, memanavshach im treifa chaya, so then this is chaylev nevela. Im treifa ena chaya, so then it's also bechal nevela. So you should say, by the same logic, you'd have to say that this comes to prove that a treifa that you shechted, the chaylev is tahar. Now, if I need a pasuk to tell me that the chaylev is tahar, then darn it, that is telling me that the animal is tameh. That's not referring to birds over there. It's referring to animals. Are you now going to tell me that a behema that was shechted as a trefa is metameh? Is that what you're saying? Because we know that that's not true. Because Amar of Yud Amar Rav, and some say it's actually a brisa, we learn out from that other pasuk that we also looked at before, V'chi yamut min ha-behema. What does it mean when it says V'chi yamut min ha-behema asher yilachem la'ochlan anogea b'nivlata yitma ad ha'aret? What's min ha-behema? It should just say behema. Min ha-behema means not all behemas are metame if they drop dead. Miktas behema metame. Some type of dead animals are metame, but some type of dead animals are not metame. Now, you tell me what kind of dead animal is not metame. I'll tell you. It's an animal that was shechted. Shechted? So then, because it was a trefa sheshachata. So even Rav Yehuda is made that when you're talking about an animal, as opposed to an oaf, the din is that a trefa is tohar if it was nishchat. So now that means that something's wrong, Rav Yehuda, with the way that you're using this extra word trefa. Because if you're applying the same logic to the word trefa that appears with chelev nevela and chelev trefa, then you're going to have to come to a conclusion that you yourself don't believe. You're going to have to come to the conclusion that even a trefa behema that was shechted is not metame. And you yourself are made that it is definitely, it's also metame. And you yourself are made that miktas behema is not metame, namely a trefa sheshachta. So then there's no way you can read the trefa in the pasuk about nivlasa of the way you learned it. So how should it be learned? I'll tell you how to learn it. Yes, it does say trefa. What does it mean by saying trefa? I'll tell you what we need it for. This word trefa, miboile lemuute temeya, that's coming to tell me that the chelev of an animal that's tame is not going to be tahar. When it says over here, chelev nevela, the chelev trefa, it teaches us like this. If this is a species of animal where yesh b'mina trefa, if it's possible for this animal, this particular type of animal, to be a trefa, then, and only then, is it included in this pasuk that the chalev is not metame. But if it's a type of animal that cannot be a trefa, which namely what? An animal that's not kosher at all. There's no din of trefa by an animal that's not kosher. It's just a tamei animal, meaning tamei in terms of achila. That's what it means. So that's what I use the word trefa, is to tell me that if you're talking about a behema tamea, so then there's no din that the chalev is not metame. The chalev is metame. So then let's use the word trefa for exactly the same reason by ophos. Why does the Torah say nevela and trefa? To tell me that if we're talking about a non-kosher animal, a bird, a non-kosher bird, it's dafka in the din of nevela. Only a kosher bird is metame, but a non-kosher bird is not metame to tumas beis ablia, and therefore it's not metame at all, because there's no moker for any kind of tumah whatsoever by a nivlas of tame. That's what we need trefa for. So you have to be consistent. If you're going to be learning trefa in the parsha of chelev nevela and chelev trefa that way, to be mamayat the kosher, the non-kosher animal, you're going to have to learn the din of nevela v'trefa, the iser of the achila, nevela v'trefa. It would be metame you by a bird. You're coming to tell me the same thing. So how does Rabbi Yehuda get this trefa to be extra to tell me, well, why does it say trefa? It must be telling me that actually there's no way to be metare trefa. That's what he says. But the trefa is not extra. We need it, as I just proved to you. No. Actually, Rav Yehuda does not need it to tell me that an of tame is not metame. Rav Yehuda learns that an of tame is not metame from the word nevela without the word trefa. How is that? The Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, you might have thought yochote nivlas of tame metame begonim abes ablia. You might have thought that a tame bird is also metame as a dead tame bird, the same way that a nivla seif tohor is metame. Therefore, Talmud lomar, nivela v'trefa lo yochal. This comes to tell me, mishi isuro mishum bal tochal nivela. Where do we learn this din of tuma, that it says litamaba, that if you do eat it, you're going to end up becoming tame? That's if you ate something where the tuma is an iser of nevela. But a bird that is not kosher does not have an iser achila from nevela, does it? You can't eat the non-kosher bird because it's a non-kosher bird. Why are we talking about nevela? You can't eat it no matter what you do to it. So before, it doesn't matter in the least if it's alive or dead, it's a non-kosher bird. And therefore, yotza zesh eni suro mishum bal tochal nevela, el mishum bal tochal tamei. So therefore, according to me, the very word nevela ipso facto means it's got to be something that's only usher because it's dead. So obviously it's not talking about a non-kosher bird. A non-kosher bird is not usher because it's dead. It's usher to eat because it's not kosher. So don't tell me I need trefa to tell me, but I mean, if it's a non-kosher bird, it's not included. Nonsense. So why does it say trefa? Aha! It says trefa to prove what I said, that a trefa is always metame, and there's no way to get out of that tumah by doing shchita, malika, whatever the heck you want to do. A trefa is always metame. That's my pasuk that shows that Rabbi Meir doesn't make any sense. Okay, so now this is a nice beginning of the sugya, but we take it in little increments, right? So, okay, this was your first inoculation. Okay, then we double the dose tomorrow in order to get through the rest of the inyan. But this is pretty clear, I think. The machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and the beautiful specific dinim that can be learned out from the interrelationship of the trefa to the nevela to the question of the tuma and tyra of the chelev. We're going to have to get into that a little bit more tomorrow, but so far things look pretty clear. We don't have to worry yet. Okay. So energy, we get a chance to look at the psukim that we spoke about so that tomorrow will flow easily. Okay, everyone, wishing you a wonderful Shavuot Tov. Hinei El Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Efchad. And looking forward to Besirot Tovot, Yeshuot V'Nechamot. Kol Tov to all.